السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وإمامنا محمد بن عبد الله، وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم تنزيله: إن الله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable علماء, beloved brothers, respected listeners, if we were to sit in the masjid and we were to come early for salah and we were to look at the faces walking through the doors of the masjid, whose house are these people coming to? Why are they coming here? What are they trying to achieve? What is it that they are trying to gain by walking through the doors of this house? Let me try to respond. We know it is not my house, it is not your house, it is not the house of the person whom or who helped building it. It is not. It is the house of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, my creator and your creator. The one, the supreme being whom we are going to return to upon death. As Muslims, we don't make sujood to Isa alayhi salam. We don't make sujood to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't make sujood like the Hindus do to the cows and the idols. We make sujood to the supreme being who created us and whom we are going to return to upon death. Therefore, as Muslims, my dear brothers and listeners, we are taking no risks at all, nothing. The minute you say somebody's name, the minute you worship or read salah for a prophet, automatically you are already risking. What are you risking? Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I doing something right? Am I doing something wrong? But when you say, whoever created me, I am putting my head on the ground for that supreme being. Whoever created the universe, I am putting my head on the ground for that supreme being. Whoever created the sun, the stars, the moon, the skies, I am putting my head down for that supreme being, the one whom when I die, I will be in his mercy. Whoever is in control of my entire goodness and evil, whatever I do, my sustenance, when I die, and this is the major point, whatever happens to me, there is a supreme being in control. That is the supreme being that I am putting my head down to. And what we say, forgive me my sins, have mercy on me. Who are we addressing? We are addressing the supreme being who controls that mercy. When Allah created us, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, he created us in such a way that we cannot remember what happened within the wombs of our mothers. If he wanted us to remember, we would have remembered it. How we were born, no one remembers. Your mother might. Those who might be, have been there may remember the complications or the difficulties that were there when you were born, when I was born. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep it in such a manner that you don't know, you can't remember. I can't remember either. Why? Because he wants to see, does this man take risks when he is going to worship? Or is he a risk-free person? And it is simple. I myself, alhamdulillah, have managed to convince people who are not Muslims that look, as Muslims, we don't take risks. No risks involved. When I put my head on the ground, I don't worship the Kaaba. Never. It's just a direction. Yes, we know the greatness of the Kaaba, but we don't worship it. You will all agree with me. We know why it is there as well. It is awwal.
إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة.
Definitely the first house to be built for Allah was that house in Mecca, the Kaaba, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know the power of the house, the history of the house, the spirituality of the house. The minute you see it, your hairs stand. May Allah take us there time and again. So that is the house, but we don't worship the house, we face in the direction. Qibla, do we worship this mihrab here? No, we don't. We worship the creator of the universe, the one whom I'm going to return to. Now tell me, after you have died. And may Allah grant us a good death. May Allah take us to Jannah when we pass away. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah is what I wish to discuss tonight, in brief. That is why I began with Inna Allaha Ghafurur Rahim. Indeed Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Let me tell you, when we die, and say you have died, though we will not be able to feel it or picture it because we haven't gone, no one who's gone has ever phoned us back, even though we have cell phones these days, and even if you put one in the grave, they still won't phone back and say, you know what, this is how it is here. They can't. Subhanallah. No matter how far technology goes, the ruh is from Allah.
يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا.
Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you about the ruh. Tell them that the ruh is from the command of Allah. It is Allah who knows what it is, and you have not been given knowledge besides just a little. Think of technology today. Subhanallah, I was reading an article in the aircraft this morning where they spoke about credit cards. The minute you use a credit card in the shop, that chocolate that you picked up whilst you are walking towards the till, and we all know they always put these enticing chocolates on the way to the till so that your kids cry for them, don't we? And we know that even when you look at it, suddenly you feel hungry. This is why a tip: when you go shopping, make sure you are full. Make sure you have just eaten and you go. Otherwise, you'll buy so many things that you don't need. That is just a tip. As you swipe the credit card, they know what chocolate you have bought, and it is already ordered from the manufacturer. We have one less, we need one. Subhanallah. You paid for it. It goes down from your bank to their account, and the name of it goes from their department straight to the factory to say, one chocolate down, we're going to need one soon. By the time it gets to 24, they know the box is ready for dispatch. Subhanallah, that's technology. But that will not happen when it comes to death. No matter how many senses they can place on your body, what type of technology and computers and laptops and palm tops and what have you, microchips they can have in your grave, wallahi, no one is ever going to come back to say, this is how it was and that how it was. But I can tell you how it will be. How can I tell you? Because we are lucky, we are fortunate, we have been granted the acceptance of being from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, I tell you that kalima is the most powerful thing you have been gifted with, and I have. May Allah keep it with us and with our offspring, and may Allah guide those who are around us to Islam. Let me tell you, because of that, we can today describe what will happen even after you die. Because we have been told, and wallahi, I was teaching last night my class, and I was telling them that when you hear هذا حديث متفق عليه, this is a hadith متفق عليه, agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj al-Qushayri al-Naysaburi rahimahullah. When you hear that these two imams have agreed upon a certain hadith, your hairs should stand, because you should be guaranteed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has uttered those words. I have no doubt in it. Subhanallah. Which sunnah, which ahadith, which life, which prophet, which person's history has ever been recorded to that accuracy? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, if I give you one small incident of his life, wallahi, you will go berserk to his intellect granted to him, his memory granted to him, by whom? Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Let's leave that example for some other time, inshallah. So for that reason, when we hear that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us something, and we hear that that hadith is muttafaq alayh, we should know automatically, there is no doubt in my mind, that that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words. This does not mean that a hadith which is not muttafaq alayh is not a correct hadith. No, it does not mean that. But what it means is, for the one which is muttafaq alayh, there is no ghubar, there is no dust, there is no sand, there is nothing that can obscure it, no mist, nothing. When you hear, innamal a'malu bin niyyat, wallahi, I'm proud to say this in this masjid. Those are the words of my beloved and your beloved, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you say, innamal a'malu bin niyyat, you must know you are chosen to utter the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You are chosen to be from his ummah. So, do not despair. You have been granted a status so high, his words, you are saying them. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. The first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The first hadith in most of the books of hadith. Subhanallah. For this reason, we can speak today. We can tell you what is going to happen in the grave. We've been told. MashaAllah. So let me tell you, going back to what I was saying. When a person passes away, what is going to happen to them? Oh, a lot has been said. Subhanallah. People fear death. People are scared. You know, it reminds me of dragging a bull to the slaughter pen. And that bull does not want to go. If we could, and if we knew when we were going to die, we would literally put reinforcements so that they would have to drag us to death. Is that not correct? That is the problem today with us. The hadith says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The difficulty with the Muslim ummah is that they love the dunya so much that they begin to hate death. Subhanallah. Yet another hadith says, "Tuhfatul mu'minil mawtu." The best gift a believer can be given is death. Because Allah promised you, when you read salah, you get so many rewards. When you fulfill zakah, you get so much. When you fast in the month of Ramadan, you get so much. You read durood sharif, you get so much. You read salah wa salam ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get so much. When are you going to see all that? It's like that credit card. It's being swiped, being swiped, being swiped. When do you find out that you are either bankrupt or you've gained something? When you go to the bank and you try and find out your receipt, meaning you get a statement, I need to know what I have. And after you get the statement, you're not going to see the cash until you withdraw it. The same applies to us. Obviously, it's a different example altogether. You need to go to the Akhirah. You need to get your record. And you need to now go with your statement, so to speak, to Jannah. Inshallah, may Allah grant that to us. And the doors will be opened for us. And what will happen? Listen to what will happen to those who will be driven to Jannah. May Allah make us from amongst those. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. Those who feared Allah, those who were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will on that day be driven to Jannah in groups. May Allah make us from amongst those groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. When they get to it, they will find the doors open. Subhanallah. The verse before that, Allah describes the people of Jahannam. May Allah protect us from Jahannam. May Allah save us from the punishment of Jahannam. When Allah describes the people of Jahannam, He says the doors will be locked like a prison. When you go to the prison, the doors are locked. You need to go there, stand, they make sure, and then they open the doors a little bit, you enter and they close the doors again. So Allah says, when the people of Jahannam go to Jahannam, the doors will be closed. Then as they arrive, the doors will be open for them and sealed immediately after they enter, as a prison would do. But when it comes to Jannah, when you arrive, the doors are open. The palaces of the kings today. What happens when they arrive? The owner of the house arrives today. If it doesn't open, you touch a button and subhanallah, it starts opening. Subhanallah. So what will happen? They will be driven. We, inshallah. And don't doubt that. We will be driven in Jannah in groups. May Allah make us from amongst the earlier groups rather than the later groups. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. The keepers of Jannah, the angels who are the gatekeepers of Jannah will say to us, inshallah, and I'm saying us for a reason, because wallahi we want to be there.
Salamun alaykum,
peace be upon you, subhanAllah. Today in the dunya, we are stingy to greet our Muslim brothers and sisters with assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How do we expect to be greeted with the same greeting on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah? So don't be stingy. Lesson number one. Don't be stingy with your greeting. Greet others with the intention that even if they don't reply you, at least the keepers of Jannah will greet you.
Salamun alaykum.
SubhanAllah. Read the Quran, Surah Az-Zumar, towards the end. These are the verses I'm reading. Tibtum, you have indeed done good. You have indeed become pure. You have indeed achieved.
Fadkhuluha khalidin.
You shall enter it. Enter it. Forever and ever. Enter what? Jannah. Subhanallah. So that is what will happen in the Akhirah. But let me tell you, at the moment of death, a person has died. They are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith says,
مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانٌ.
Every single one of you is going to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a barrier or a translator between the two of you. Have you prepared for the day?
إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ.
Indeed, every single one of you are going to see your Creator as clearly as you see the moon on the eve of the 15th, the 14th night. Go out and look at the moon. How clearly can you miss it on that night? You can't. So we will see Allah, each one of us, as clearly as that. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the question is, the risks that are involved, we as Muslims should be minimizing them. And when I say we worship only Allah, think of it, you've died. Now, your whole life you've been making dua. Save me from the punishment, save me from Jahannam. Do you think that you have been making dua to someone deaf? Were you making dua to a human being? Were you making dua to an angel? Were you making dua to a pillar? Were you making dua to a tree? Or were you making dua to the creator of the tree and the skies and the sun? You were making dua to the supreme being who created everything. Who did not want you to remember the day you were born for reasons best known to him. So now you have taken no risks. He knows that you made a dua, forgive me. Wallahi, do you think he is going to say, I didn't hear that dua? Do you think for a split moment he is going to think that this person read salah, but no, I don't want this person. Wallahi, he is looking for any excuse to forgive you. He is describing himself as most forgiving, most merciful. Wallahi, my dear brothers, the faces I am seeing in front of us here, there is a message I have for you today. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my creator and your creator. Don't become scared to the degree that it stops you in the dunya and makes you pull the brakes so that you don't want to die. But be concerned, how have I prepared for my meeting with Allah? That's all. Once you are prepared for that, inshallah, you will be heading in the right direction. Subhanallah. Let me tell you something. As we are seated here and watch the people coming into this house, the house of whom? That same supreme being. Do you think he doesn't know that we are seated here today? The hadith says, whenever people gather to remember me, Allah is saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no creature. He was not created. He's a supreme being who creates. He was not created. We all read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, and we know the meaning of it.
اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
And I'm sure we know the meaning of that. Subhanallah. That is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one we have come into this house for. The hadith says, whenever you come and gather in order to remember me, the angels surround you and the blessings of Allah descend. The angels make dua for your forgiveness. Wallahi, whilst I am speaking, there are angels seeking my forgiveness and your forgiveness from Allah.
وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The angels praise their Rabb, who is Allah, and they seek forgiveness for those on earth. لا إله إلا الله.
How fortunate are we? We have angels seeking forgiveness for us. And we pass so many days without even having asked forgiveness once from Allah. Ya Allah, I'm a criminal, forgive me. We are all criminals in our own ways. Some are big criminals, some are small criminals. Some are mafia, subhanallah. And the others are small. But we are all criminals in our own way. But don't we have to ask Allah's forgiveness? Imagine, the angels are seeking forgiveness. Therefore, when you get to a gathering like this one, where we are speaking of Allah, where we are speaking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your very presence itself is istighfar on its own, seeking forgiveness from Allah. May Allah make this an opportunity for us to turn. So, as the people are entering, I asked you the question at the beginning. What do you think they are here for? We know they are here for Allah. They are here for a message. They are here for the Quran, for the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are coming into the house of Allah. Can I give you a little example? If you didn't know someone, would you go to their house freely? No, you wouldn't. If you knocked on their door, they might even think you were Jehovah's Witnesses walking around. In fact, when I was in Britain, I saw stickers outside, Jehovah's Witnesses not welcome. Finished. Straight. Which means they should not ring your bell or you will prosecute them. Subhanallah. But when you know someone, you will go to their house. If you know them more, you will go more to their house. When you have arrived in a city, let's say for example Cape Town, if you know someone very well, you will hunt them down and go to see them. Or they will come to see you. And they will be so happy when you come to their house or when they come to you. Is that not a fact? Common sense. The same applies to the house of Allah, my dear brothers and listeners. You are here because of your connection with Allah. Had you not had that connection, you wouldn't have been here, believe me. It is Allah who accepts you in His home. You have come here because He loves you. And because He wants you to be here. Had He not wanted you to be here, wallahi, He does not need you. So thank Allah, we are in His house. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. When you are closer to someone, you go to their house more often. So come to the house of Allah more often. To display your closeness to Him. And He will in turn grant you the comfort that you need. The serenity that you need in your heart. You need peace in your heart. We are all suffering. We have our problems. In the house, in the business, at workplace, in town, in the city, in the country. We have problems which make us feel like we are not at peace. Yet Islam itself means peace. Amazing. How did Allah choose a name for this deen which happened to be so close to peace? Yet people would be complaining for not being in peace. Subhanallah. So let me tell you, when you come to the house of Allah, when you frequent the house of Allah, it is a sign of iman. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله. Definitely those who frequent the masajid. يعمر مساجد الله. One of the meanings is those who frequent, those who increase the numbers in the masjid. Yes, and those who assist in the masjid in one way or another, they are those who fear Allah. They are those who believe. They are those who do so good and so much good and so much good. The ayah has described them. So surely, is it not a sign of acceptance? Why then do we have to lose hope in the mercy of the one who accepted me to come here? Subhanallah. And let me tell you, I have sat in some masajid and I'd like you to do it. Sit in a corner in such a way that you can see the entrance. Look at the people, the faces who are walking in, the different types of people. Not because we want to mark a register, this person came for Fajr, this one didn't come, now let's go and spread the news in Cape Town to say this one comes to the masjid and this one doesn't. That's not the reason. That's not what we want to do. That's not my business. That is what the day of Qiyamah is there for. In order to judge people. I don't have to judge here and now. Otherwise I'm taking over a job that's not mine. May Allah protect us. So, look at the faces and visualize that you are sitting in Jannah, in the house of Allah, in Jannah, in the Akhirah, and these people are walking in. Be happy with that, subhanallah. And you should know you were there first, before them. What has driven people into the masjid? Is it not the need to be in Jannah? Tell me. Don't you want to be in Jannah? Wallahi, we want to be in Jannah. Who does not want to go to Jannah? Put up your hand. I don't see any hands. That means we want to all go to Jannah. And we are coming to the masjid for Allah. So have hope in that Jannah. And enter the doors and look at the others and love them, because their goal is just yours. Subhanallah. Today we dislike people. We don't like people. We don't want to talk to them. We want to cause this problem. But my goal is the same. They want Jannah. I want Jannah. And Jannah is not my house where only 10 people can fit and it will be full. And I have to put a sign on the door. Or it's not a hotel where when you phone and they say, Subhanallah, we are fully booked. Wallahi, it has place for everyone. My Jannah and your Jannah. Inshallah, in my stay in Cape Town, I will speak, inshallah, one of the talks just on Jannah and what we are going to get in Jannah. That's it. Just one whole talk, inshallah. Because we need to know, what is it that we are paying for? We are paying. Every day we are paying. We pay 5 times a day in the form of salah. You miss one payment, it's like missing a payment when you're paying for a home. What happens? You miss 1 month, the bank adds something, which is haram, known as interest. When it comes to us, we are not asked for interest, but do your qadha, salah, that is a payment. You are paying for your house in the akhirah. Imagine, we are so small-minded. In the dunya, for a house that I might stay in for a few years, I might not even stay in, every year, every month, I make sure from my salary, it must go direct. It must go direct payment. Why? I need to live in this house for how many years? For 10 years, 20 years. You're going to die after that. But for the house of the akhirah, we can't make the payments, subhanallah. For the house of the akhirah, we don't want to make the payments. We don't want to know about it. Someone says, come for Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr. We say, no, never mind, man. Allah is merciful. Ghafurur Rahim. That's the excuse we use today, isn't it? But remember, yes, he is Ghafurur Rahim. But when he's telling you to pay, pay. Tell me, pick up the best man in Cape Town, the richest and the best, and ask him for a loan. He'll tell you, listen, if he's the best, he'll tell you, look, I give you R1 million interest free, but pay me back installments, R1,000 a month. How long will it take you to pay? So many years, subhanallah. But that is a good man. However, you default, tell me what he does. He is the best man, but won't he come and do something to you? And you default 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, he's going to take you to court. He's going to get you to jail to say the man stole my money. Though we know him as the best person, he gave us an interest-free loan. He gave us the best terms possible, and we're still not paying. We can understand this example for this world which is coming to an end, but we can't understand the example for the akhirah, subhanallah. Allah says, he's given us the best terms. He says, you will make a payment for Jannah in such a manner that it will be according to your financial level. If you don't have much, there's no zakat on you. You don't have much, there's no hajj on you. You come to the masjid, subhanallah. Come for salah. Everyone can do that. If you can't, because you are paralyzed or lame, you don't have to. Subhanallah. Allah has tailor-made everyone's payment according to his own capacity. But still we don't want to pay. I have hands and legs. I don't go to the masjid. The day I don't have my legs or my hands, now I think, ya asafa. Oh, goodness, I should have gone to the masjid. What despair. Now it's too late. So are we waiting for the day we lose our hands and legs before we do something good? Or are we going to use our capacity in the right direction? Let me tell you the good news I was about to give you. The faces I am seeing here,